A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Penguin Random House Audio presents The Krytos Trap, Star Wars Legends, Rogue Squadron, by Michael A. Stackpole. Read for you by Mark Thompson. The Essential Legends Collection. For more than 40 years, novels set in a galaxy far, far away have enriched the Star Wars experience for fans seeking to continue the adventure beyond the screen. When he created Star Wars, George Lucas built a universe that sparked the imagination and inspired others to create. He opened up that universe to be a creative space for other people to tell their own tales. This became known as the Expanded Universe, or EU, of novels, comics, video games, and more. To this day, the EU remains an inspiration for Star Wars creators and is published under the label Legends. Ideas, characters, story elements, and more from new Star Wars entertainment trace their origins back to material from the Expanded Universe. This Essential Legends collection curates some of the most treasured stories from that expansive legacy. 1. Commander Wedge Antilles would have preferred the ceremony to be private. Rogue Squadron had come to mourn the passing of one of its own on the week anniversary of his death. Wedge wanted the gathering to be small and intimate, with Corin Horn's friends all being able to share remembrances of him. But that was not possible. Corin's death had come during the liberation of Coruscant. That made him a hero from a company of heroes. And while a small memorial might have been what Corin himself would have wanted, it was not heroic enough for a figure of his posthumous stature. Even though Wedge had known things would not go quite the way he wanted, he had not anticipated how out of control they would get when he requested permission to hold the ceremony. He had expected a number of dignitaries would come to the pseudo-granite barrow that marked where Corin had died when a building collapsed on top of him. He even anticipated people lining the balconies and walkways of nearby towers. At the very worst, he imagined people might gawk from the beds of hover trucks. His imagination paled beside that exercised by the bureaucrats who organized the memorial service. They took a ceremony based on heartfelt grief and made it into the focal point of mourning for the entire New Republic. Corin Horn was a hero. This they proclaimed loudly. But he was also a victim. As such, he represented all the victims of the Empire. It didn't matter to them that Corin would have rejected being labeled a victim. He had been transformed into a symbol. A symbol the New Republic needed badly. Rogue Squadron likewise underwent iconization. The unit's pilots had always worn orange flight suits in the past, or as supplies became harder and harder to find, whatever had been handy. Corin's flight suit had been green, black, and gray, since he'd brought it with him from the Corellian Security Force. In homage to him, that color scheme was used to create new uniforms for the squadron. Evergreen overall, with dark gray flank panels, black sleeves, leg stripes, and trim. On the left sleeve and breast rode the Rogue Squadron crest. It had also appeared on the evergreen hawk-billed caps designed by a Kuati, but Wedge had vetoed their addition to the uniform. The makeup of the squadron had also been adjusted. A Seer Sylar, a Bothan pilot, and a Neri Forge, the sister of a dead squadron member, had both been added to the squadron. Wedge would have gladly welcomed them, and they had been crucial to the success of the mission to liberate Coruscant, but they had been pressed upon him for political reasons. Likewise, Portha, a Trandoshan, had been made a member of the squadron despite his inability to fly. He was attached to the unit as part of a previously non-existent security detail. Each of them was appointed by bureaucrats as a reward to various constituencies in the New Republic, and Wedge hated their objectification. The ceremony grew out of all proportion until special grandstands had to be grafted to the nearby buildings and color-coded for the various levels of access people were to be accorded. Holocams had been stationed at various positions so the ceremony could be recorded and replayed on countless worlds. Despite the very real fears about contracting the highly contagious Krytos virus, the stands were packed to overflowing. He looked up from his position on the reviewing stand and out at Rogue Squadron. His people were bearing up well, despite the bright sunlight and unseasonably warm weather. The recent rains had raised the general level of humidity until clothing clung and the very air lay like a smothering blanket over everyone. The thick air seemed to deaden sounds and suppress emotions, and Wedge was tempted to allow himself to imagine that Coruscant somehow also mourned Corrin's passing. In addition to the members of Rogue Squadron, Corrin's other friends stood on the platform nearest the barrow. Ayela Wasiri, a slender brown-haired woman who had been Corrin's Corsec partner, stood next to Mirax Terek. Despite being the daughter of a notorious Corellian smuggler, Mirax had managed to become friends with Corrin. Mirax, who had known Wedge since they had both been kids, had tearfully confided in him that she and Corrin had planned to celebrate the liberation of Coruscant together. He could see she'd fallen hard for Corrin, and the lifeless expression on her face made his heart ache. "The only one who's missing is Tycho," Wedge frowned. Captain Tycho Selchu was a long-standing member of Rogue Squadron, who had served as the squadron's executive officer. He'd surreptitiously joined the mission to Coruscant at Wedge's request, and had been instrumental in bringing the planet's defenses down. His action was the latest in a string of heroic missions Tycho had carried off during his rebel career. Unfortunately, Alliance intelligence had developed evidence that indicated Tycho was working for the Empire. They blamed him directly, not only for Corrin's death, but for the death of Broer Jace, another Rogue Squadron pilot who had died early on in the Coruscant campaign. Wedge had not been fully apprised of what the evidence was that they had against Tycho, but he did not doubt the man's innocence for a second. Still, his innocence might mean nothing in the long run. In spite of the liberation, Coruscant was not a pleasant or stable world. A hideous epidemic, the Krytos virus, was ravaging the non-human population of the planet. It had struck at the non-humans in the rebellion, and was hard enough on some species that even coming down to the planet was an act of extreme bravery. Bacta, as usual, could cure the virus, but the rebellion's entire store of Bacta was insufficient to cure everyone. This resulted in panic and resentment against humans for their apparent immunity to the disease. The memorial service had become an important event because Coruscant's population needed something to unite them and to get their minds off their suffering, even if only for a moment. The fact that Rogue Squadron had humans and non-humans working together in it showed the strength of unity that had allowed the rebellion to prevail. Non-humans coming together along with dignitaries from various other worlds to mourn a dead human acknowledged the debt the rebels owed humans. Speakers devoted themselves to exhorting their fellows to labor together in building a future that would justify the sacrifices made by Corrin and others. Their words raised.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?